Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
There's no way to say this. It's a depressing story, but it's the kind of stuff I want you to know because it's going on in the world. And, put this in your, your vegetables portion of the Pensacola Morning Show plate. Okay. Let's go to Afghanistan. What was the biggest worry that we had about Afghanistan when we left? The biggest worry was that they would descend into this, 7th century primitive, oppressive, particularly anti-woman oppressive society. Well, we're there, as we've known for a long time. CNN, I don't know how they did this, but they managed to get a correspondent to go there, and she went to one of these religious madrasas. That's like a religious school, okay, where they're working with girls. He said, I thought girls weren't going to school. Well, they're not. I mean, not in the sense you would think of. They're not learning useful skills. They're not learning math and writing and all of the things that go with, a normal education. They're just being propagandized into the particularly repressive, primitive, outrageous version of Islam that the Taliban believes in. So she goes to this school and it's so weird just seeing the girls in their burqas in a classroom where it's all women, but they're still having to hide themselves from because the female body is so dangerous that it has to be covered from head to toe, and that it's so ugly that it has to be, just all the things behind that. Anyway, okay, so here, this is the beginning of the report.
So here in the Taliban's Afghanistan, they are still not allowing girls over the age of 12 to attend school in a modern sense. Until recently, USAID had been funding a series of secret schools across the country for girls to attend, but obviously that funding has now dried up. So one of the only options for girls is to attend these madrasas, these religious schools where predominantly the focus is on learning a very strict interpretation of Islamic rules and Islamic principles.
Yeah, so they're able to get some education until the age of 12, and after that they go to these madrasas. And you heard there kind of mentioned in the report that USAID had been funding these secret schools around the nation. We had been helping fund education for girls that they had to do secretly around the Taliban, because the Taliban finds out, then they're going to act to suppress it. So I was surprised that she was able to get some interviews with these girls. And I was stunned that any of them talked to her, but they did.
Hi. Salam, how are you? You're cramming for exams right now?
Yeah, sure.
And how old are you guys?
I'm 17.
You're 17?
Yeah. I'm 14.
I'm 16.
Okay, and you're all in the same class?
Yeah, we're all in the same class.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
I have a lot of dreams. I want to be a surgeon or a translator. I like languages and also like doctors.
So if you want to be a surgeon, what are your options?
Abroad, I guess. No options here.
Yeah, can't stay there.
I wanted to be a doctor in the future, but when Taliban came to Afghanistan, in all of the doors of schools.
Will you stay in Afghanistan?
I want to stay. I love my country. I want to stay here forever, but I do also want to study.
Do you think the US has abandoned Afghan girls and Afghan women?
Kinda,
she says. These girls want to be doctors and businessmen and whatever, and they can't now, right? They can't get the education. They're not allowed to as citizens in Taliban, under Taliban's Afghanistan. They have basically no freedoms whatsoever. I mean, it's worse than Saudi Arabia for women. And so then what I found fascinating is she went and talked to the principal of the school. Now, this is a government-run madras. There's also privately run ones, but the basic emphasis is the same. It's all about their particular version of Islam and the code and teaching these girls, how to obey those laws. It's not about teaching them geometry and literature. I was actually surprised they have such good English. At least the one she talked to had such polished English. But remember, until we abandoned them, they were girls would get educated in Afghanistan. So there's still girls held over from before that had fairly decent education before we left the country. And I don't want to get into the whole issue of whether we should have left or not. I'm just saying, you know, for the propped up government with American support was actually educating girls. So she goes to talk to the principal of the school.
So many of these girls have so many hopes, so many big dreams. How can they hope to achieve them when so much of the curriculum is about learning religious studies and they're not able to go on to higher education, to college, because the Taliban forbids that?
No, what he's going to say here is, of course, it's not in English, which I think is amazing. He's not speaking English. But he says, yeah, I reject the idea that the Taliban imposed any restrictions on girls. No, I mean, they get everything they need from us. Everything's fine.
Because the Taliban have given you the curriculum, what a lot of people who might be watching this will think is that these girls, bright as they are being brainwashed into the Taliban's ideology and the Taliban is weaponizing education here.
No. Everybody's happy. Everything is good. The curriculum is great. They're getting everything they need to learn how to be moms. It's fantastic. No problems. Everybody loves the Taliban. I don't know what you're talking about. So one of the the acting minister of higher education, Nida Mohammad Nadeem, on state TV in 2022, explaining why they closed the schools, because we told the girls to wear proper hijabs, but they didn't. Girls were studying agriculture and engineering, but this doesn't match Afghan culture. Girls should learn, but not in areas that go against Islam and Afghan honor. And then there was a very interesting story about a girl who had been educated and then they closed the schools and now she's running a secret school that she hopes doesn't get found out. I'll tell you about that in a second. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives.
Wow. Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. If you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, you see about a 5 to 7 minute delay through that construction zone. Still dealing with the accident over in Milton at Berry Hill in Anderson Lane. First responders are now on the scene trying to clear that roadblock. But just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back to the CNN report about current status of women in Afghanistan, which we knew was going to be bad. Okay. And there's no surprises here. The only surprise is, you know, how bad it is. But this woman who's using a fake name, 23-year-old Mkabul, she had been in university studying economics when, you know, we left and the Taliban took back over. And, you know, she'd go to classes, work part-time in the afternoon, teach English in the evening, and then they came and closed down the school. What broke her heart, it says, was faces of younger sisters at the time, 11 and 12, who came home one day and told her that the school had been closed. They didn't eat anything for a month. They were so distraught. I realized that they'll go crazy like this, so I made the decision to help them with their studies. Even if I lose everything, I'll do this one thing. So she started collecting past textbooks that hadn't been taken, destroyed, whatever, and started teaching the girls everything she'd ever learned. Other relatives and neighbors began asking for help, and she found it difficult to say, no, we want our girls to learn too. So every morning at 6 a.m., before the Taliban security guards get up, 45 females as young as 12 sneak across the city to her house with no support, no funding, to huddle around one textbook, learning how to, and notepads, you know, sharing notepads and pens. They learn math, science, computing, English. She tries to rack her brains for all the things she's ever learned and tries to teach them what she knows, and she hopes that they don't get found out. It's dangerous, she says. There's not one day of the week I can relax. Every day they come to me, I worry so much it makes me mad. It's a big risk, fearful the Taliban will discover this, as they've previously discovered. 2 months ago, members of the Taliban came to raid the home she was teaching from. Doesn't it kind of sound like Nazi Germany stuff? I mean, you know, you're harboring Jews, you're teaching girls, you know, right? It's familiar to me. You know, for all these people who want to talk about the horrible treatment of people in this country and alligator Alcatraz and all this, hey, look at Afghanistan. Look where there's actual, real, horrible things being done. Anyway, she spent a night in jail. She was reprimanded for teaching. Her father and other family members have begged her to stop, telling her it's not worth the risk. But even though she's terrified, she says she refuses to abandon her students, and she switches locations and keeps trying. I just, you know, I didn't cry, but that's where I was, just thinking about the reality for these women. And, you know, it's awful. It's awful. Now, there's awful things all around the world, but sometimes we lose track a little bit of things that matter. And caring about the oppression of women. And by the way, economically, the evidence is overwhelming that if you want to have a good economy, you educate your women. I mean, looking at it from a strictly numbers point of view, aside from culture, aside from family, aside from, you just teach women and you'll have a better economy and your state will be stable. That's how it works. So anyway, it's I just wanted to share it with you just kind of so you know, because it's the kind of thing, you know, it's easy to ignore, easy to not notice, okay? Especially when we've got this story about the zoo in the Netherlands. Do you want to talk about that? We'll talk about it when we come back. You won't believe it. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Excuses are destroying your success. Luke 14 records the devastating effects of being an excuse maker. One man said that he couldn't attend the master's supper because he had to prove oxen, while another said he had purchased land that he must go see. Yet a third man had just married a wife and therefore he couldn't attend. Their excuses were cloaked in half-truths, nonsense, and self-will. As a result, the master invited the poor, halt, lame, and blind to his dinner. The self-willed people rejected the supper, but the desperate-hearted people received the supper. In the seats of the original invitees sat poor, halt, lame, and blind. If excuse makers don't want to enjoy the benefits that God provides, someone else will. You can choose your excuses, but you don't get to choose the consequences. So beware of being an excuse maker.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at David's Catfish House. David's Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants, backed by over 200 years of combined experience, has helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share. With 4 powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs. And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies that gives your business an edge. Let's make 2025 a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader, Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station, the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences, or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call me, Jeff Wayne, at 850-262-6000.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
That's what I'm talking about.
Roaches check in. They don't check out.
You guys are the best. We had somebody call up and just say, so apparently the Milton City Council isn't the worst government in the world.
That was priceless.
Oh, man. And they're not. And certainly not by comparison with the Taliban. Good Lord. 723 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's all about perspective. You know, you got to have good compare and contrast. Hey, if you need a roof on your home, Brian Ward founded Quality Roofing Solutions 19 years ago and has been providing outstanding roofs ever since. One thing, just a small thing, they recently expanded their warranty on their roofs. It's now a lifetime warranty. You say, well, wow. Yeah, exactly. Wow, that's amazing. But no, they just believe in doing quality work and treating people like people and, you know, answering their calls and calling you back. And, you know, when they do work, they take photographs before, during, and after, so you have an online record, and that's available that if you ever have a storm, then you can always, you know, go, and they have the data to prove that you did your roof and it was done right. And if you need an insurance claim or you need to get insurance, all that's available to you. They, you know, 4.9 rating on Google is okay. It's like better than anybody on Google. It's crazy. I can't believe that anybody has a 4.9 rating. That's amazing. And they do all kinds of stuff to, you know, support the local community. It's just a good company. QualityRoofingSolutions.com. You need a roof, they've got it. 777-0961. All right. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still dealing with the accident over in Milton at Berry Hill Road and Anderson Lane. The roadway is still blocked. They are trying their best to get that roadway back open, but just be aware of that. Let's see here. I-10 eastbound, right around the Highway 29 exit through that construction zone. We're seeing some delays there, about a 9 to 10-minute delay in that area. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. I can't believe I'm going to share this story. It's so outrageous, but here we go. Why not?
Oh, boy.
By the way, I said Netherlands earlier. It's not Netherlands. It was Denmark. I think I had the Anne Frank on the brain from talking about the Taliban. A zoo in Denmark is asking people to donate small pets to the zoo. Not for a new exhibit. Not for a hands-on petting area. But because they're European lynx and they're Asian lions and their Sumatran tigers are hungry.
Budget cuts?
I don't know whether to cry. I don't know whether to laugh. I mean, you know, small mammals are prey. I get that.
Right.
You know.
But poor Fluffy.
But something has to die to feed the tigers.
I know.
It just didn't have to be your guinea pig. So they say guinea pigs, rabbits, and chickens form an important part of the diet of the predators, and they need whole prey because it's reminiscent of what they would eat naturally in the wild, as opposed to, you know, like the fillet, you know, just sliced for them. So if they have a healthy animal that needs to be given away for various reasons, feel free to donate it to us. They're trying to if you got a pet for Christmas and then you don't want it anymore.
You're like, I'm done.
You know, it's not, you know. Look, Fluffy, I have told you 18 times not to pee there, and if you do it one more time, you're going to Denmark.
Overnighted.
I don't think that's what they have in mind, but it is where the brain goes, typically. Mm-hmm. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You have contact information for the zoo? Asking for a friend.
According to Danish broadcaster TV2 Nord, that's TV2 North, so far this year, the zoo has received donations of 137 rabbits, 53 chickens, 18 guinea pigs, 12 cod. Oh, I don't want to say the last one. I'm assuming they had to be put down anyway. 22 horses. Hmm. But again, I'm assuming all these animals were to be destroyed anyway, and so why not make them food?
I'm hoping that's the
reason. John Pickens has traffic for John Pickens.
I do.
I don't know. David Wayne, what's your names? Anyway, what are you doing here?
Predators got to eat too, right? Texas Governor Greg Abbott authorizing civil arrest warrants for lawmakers who left the state in a bid to stop a redistricting scheme. More than 50 Democrats fled apparently to Illinois, New York, Massachusetts to prevent Republicans from advancing those maps. The Gates Foundation planning to put $2.5 billion towards women's health by 2030. Bill Gates says the money will focus on conditions like preeclampsia and menopause, which are health concerns he believes have been long neglected. And Russia says it's no longer subject to the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty it signed with the U.S. in 1987. Russia made the announcement after President Trump moved two nuclear submarines near Russia, just ahead of U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff's planned visit.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, somebody here has let's call it a creative idea. Instead of sending unwanted chickens and rabbits and horses, there are, let's just say, sexual predators who maybe would make for
death row inmates
decent food for some of these, you know.
Yes. Fight for your right to go free.
I mean, look, it would be you. Well, you don't want to give them the taste of people.
No,
that's the problem.
You're right.
Yeah, you don't want to cultivate that. But but that's the real objection. 7:29 on News. No. We're not really advocating that you send convicted sex predators to Denmark to be used as food for tigers. There is a part of you that kind of, you know, there's that little part of you that you have to always, like, shout down. Like, not this part of me. 437-1620. A hiker goes into the mountains and then has to get rescued because he doesn't realize how difficult that it is, and then he gets billed $16,000 for the rescue. Good. There's signs everywhere warning them. This is in Italy, the Dolomites. So there's signs everywhere. They've had 83 fatalities and 5 people missing in the first month of summer holidays in this region of Italy. Everybody thinks they're up for a good hike. Everybody thinks they've got what it takes. That's nearly 3 fatalities a day. People going on a hike, going on vacation in the Dolomites in Italy, and they don't come back. So when the signs say, beware, don't enter, that's not an invitation for you to take a selfie back there.
I'm CJ Papa. Ceasefire talks stalling between Israel and the terror group Hamas. Today, Israel's leader meets with the security cabinet.
It's been 668 days since the start of the war. Of the hostages still held in Gaza, 20 are believed to still potentially be alive. Israel has requested an emergency UN Security Council meeting today, which is expected to take place in New York to discuss the conditions and the current status of these hostages.
Fox's Alex Hogan in London. Texas Governor Greg Abbott orders state police to arrest Democratic state lawmakers to force them to go back to the Capitol, but the warrants are not enforceable across state lines. Democrats bolted to some deep blue states so it can foil Republican plans to vote on new congressional maps that could win them 5 new seats in 2026. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 75 degrees. We've got cloudy skies right now. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. Well, work has started on dismantling the historic SS United States in Mobile. The ship's forward funnels have been removed, and crews are working now to remove the crow's nest. Now, those pieces will be preserved. The SS United States Conservancy is hoping to incorporate those into some type of a museum eventually. Once that ship is prepared, it'll be sunk off the Destin coast. It'll become the world's new largest artificial reef. A Century man has died after a crash with a semi-truck near Atmore. Happened Friday on Alabama 21 around mile marker 16. That's about 10 miles north of Atmore. Officials say 61-year-old Charles Cooper crashed into a semi-truck driven by a J-man. Alabama troopers say Cooper was not wearing a seatbelt. He died at the scene. A Milton man recovering after being bit by a shark in the Pensacola Pass. The victim is Chance Armand. He said he was swimming when he was bitten by a bull shark in the leg. He was taken to Sherman Cove on NAS Pensacola, where Navy Fire responded to that call. Now, the Escambia School Board recently voted to approve a property tax millage rate increase, which is expected to increase their tax revenue by about $52 million a year. The district says the rate hike is necessary because of decreasing enrollment.
A lot of that is hard costs. It is not dependent on student population. You can't just stop doing it because the students are not there. That's more of a general fund area.
And that's school district CFO Terry St. Cyr, who talked to Channel 3. Local state representative Michelle Salzman has also reacted to that news on social media, saying now just isn't the right time for a tax increase. She's calling on the state's DOGE to look at the district's books. Well, local law enforcement officials say that Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, are trying to poach their employees. This comes after several local sheriff's offices signed 287G agreements to partner with federal agents in immigration operations. In Santa Rosa County, 30 deputies took special training.
I sent out an email to these guys saying, come work for us.
Work for an agency with integrity, and we'll pay you $50,000 bonus. That's what they did. Sent it to all the deputies, 287 qualified, in the state of Florida.
So they,
Sheriff Bob Johnson, there's no word whether any of their deputies decided to join the federal agency after that email went out. Well, the FWC preparing for a fourth quarter 2025 bear hunt. Whatever happens, Northwest Florida won't be involved in it.
Here's something we're going to be watching this month. State wildlife officials could potentially approve rules for a three-week bear hunt in December. The proposed action will be considered by the FWC during a meeting August 13th and 14th. The meeting's going to define a lottery-style permitting process, with up to 187 bears being killed in four areas of the state. The Florida Panhandle will not be one of those areas. Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you, Chris. Alligator Alcatraz is being hailed as a model for state-run immigrant detention facilities. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem told CBS that the department's hoping to create similar sites with considerations in Arizona, Nebraska, and Louisiana. According to Kristi Noem, the department is looking at locations near airports to make them more efficient. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Just dealing with that one accident that happened in Milton on Berry Hill and Anderson Lane. The roadway is still blocked. Traffic is barely moving right now on Berry Hill, so you might want to avoid that area. Also, I-10 eastbound right around the Highway 29 exit and backed up all the way to Pine Forest through that construction zone and congestion, so be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We do have more scattered showers and thunderstorms today. 70% chance of rain, high near 87. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Wednesday, 50% chance of rain, high near 88. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Going into Thursday, 60% chance of rain, high near 89. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 74. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, we've got cloudy skies. It is 75 degrees. Our next news is at 8. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The United States is launching a pilot program that could require some inbound travelers to pay bonds of up to $15,000 to enter. Officials say the 12-month program is aimed at visitors from countries with historically high visa overstay rates. The U.S. government is set to announce the list of countries as early as today. Hims & Hers Health shares fell after the company reported second quarter results that missed Wall Street's expectations for revenue. However, revenue did increase 73% year over year to nearly $545 million. Melanie Abrantes, a California-based business owner who sells home decor, says everything is about to get really expensive. Abrantes is one of the many CEOs of a small or medium-sized consumer product business in the U.S. who says President Trump's tariff could force them to raise prices before the end of the year. Futures are slightly higher. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 585, the NASDAQ up 403, the S&P 500 up 91. That's your money now.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters. Today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, they'll be discussing Summer Restaurant Week, Jackson's and Julia, a festive Ferragosto celebration, Atlas Beverage Class, and the world is your oyster. Today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
This is the story of the one. As a safety manager at a manufacturing plant, he does everything he can to keep his coworkers safe. From finding ways to reduce risks, to keeping safety supplies in stock. And for that, he relies on Grainger. Grainger offers a broad range of quality products and next-day delivery, so he can always play it safe. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Kick back with your family and friends at the Gulfside Pavilion Friday night for another Cinemas in the Sand, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. Bring blankets and chairs for the movie Shrek, beginning at sunset. Plan to enjoy the Navarre Farmers Market Combs of Honey. Pick local and fresh produce, along with unique products, every Saturday from 8 till noon at Highway 87 and Segura Corner. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are their dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
You know, we became a 207G, which 287G, which basically means some of our deputies can serve warrants toward ICE federal warrants.
Mm-hmm.
They have to go through a program, and then they can serve warrants. And we've got 30-something. I sent out an email to these guys saying, come work for us. Work for an agency with integrity, and we'll pay you $50,000 bonus. That's what they did. Sent
wow.
it to all the deputies 287 qualified in the state of Florida.
So they used it as a recruiting tool for them?
Yes. After we stepped up and said, we will help you, after they asked for our help.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson talking to me yesterday. You've heard David mention this several times in the news. Let's start there with Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Chip, by the way, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great. Good to have you. You also have deputies that have participated in this program where they've gotten certified or trained by ICE, right?
Yes.
Did they get the letters of finally they can come work for an agency with integrity and get $50,000 as a bonus?
Yes. Yeah. You know, I heard what Sheriff Johnson, Bob and I and the First Circuit sheriffs have been communicating about this and our displeasure with this tactic that was used. And again, it's one of those things where they asked us to help. We provided them with names and business emails, sheriff's office email addresses to get this certification. Honestly, went through a bunch of hoops to help them.
Yeah.
And then in what I think is very poor form, they decide to send emails to those ones, the ones that they, this is the, you're biting the hand that feeds you is what you're doing. And what I find that it's even worse is that they did not send these emails to the state officers. They didn't send them to the troopers that were certified.
Really?
They didn't send them to the FDLE agents that were certified because they knew, in my mind, they knew that the governor wouldn't take kindly to that.
Wow.
But they didn't give a darn about the locals, the sheriff's office and the municipalities. So they sent these emails trying to recruit them away after we allowed them to take this training to help them. It's just poor form. It's a poor reflection on the partnership. It's very important. So we're going to continue to work with our ICE partners, but this is going to be difficult to forget.
And it's not like they sent it to you and said, hey, if any of your officers want to come work for us, we have a pretty good program. If you feel like sharing with them, they went directly to the people that you had brought to them to help. And I assume, right, it was working around you guys basically to get.
Yeah, it's basically said, now that you've got some training and you've proven that you want to be, you know, a partner with us, why don't you come work for us instead?
Mm.
Which again is would ultimately, if anyone was to leave, would take from the local law
right.
enforcement contingent and put them into an ICE, ICE employment status, and that's not going to help anybody.
Do you happen to know? I mean, it's hard to turn down $50,000 bonus. Do you have deputies leaving? Do you know?
Well, as I understand it, the $50,000 bonus is $10,000 a year. With a 5-year contract. That's
okay.
What I understand.
So, I gotcha.
I chose not to work for a federal agency. I wanted to be a local law enforcement. I wanted
yeah.
to to work for my community. And we give our own recruitments bill. You can do anything at the sheriff's office. You can be on a SWAT team. You can be a narcotics. You can be an investigator. You can be a homicide investigator. You can be on our dive team, our boat team. You can do a number of different things. And so I can't imagine someone wanting to leave the employment of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office to go work for ICE.
Okay, so but do you know of anybody? That's...
No, I'm not aware of anyone is looking at. So I mean, they may not tell me. You're right. They may not say, "Hey, Sheriff, I'm out until it's too late."
But I mean, that was my first blush reaction was, "Oh my God, how many are we losing?" You know, but it's
possible. But I mean, ultimately, we provide I think the citizens of Escambia County provide a very competitive salary now. Mm-hmm. We've got a great thing going. We got a lot of momentum at the sheriff's office. Things are going very well. And my hope is that the people that we put so much time and effort into, yeah, and we train our own now, that they will want to stick around. And so far they have done so.
Well, that's good news. I mean, that's really good news. 7:45 on News Radio 92.3. We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Seeing a 9 to 12 minute delay through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Sheriff Simmons. We had a couple of cases, as we often do. Josh Hardy, who was tromping around in the field by his house, stepped in a hole, shot himself with an AK-47, as happens.
Hopefully it doesn't happen very much.
I don't know. It's never happened to me, but I mean, you know, whatever. But that led to some other stuff, right?
Yeah, basically, this guy's jumping around in what's described as foxholes. I guess he's doing his own training type of thing on his own property. But he ends up shooting himself with an AK-47, doing some rather extensive damage. As can happen when you shoot yourself with an AK.
Yeah, that's a high-powered weapon, for sure.
Some very really substantial injuries to his leg. And ultimately, we find out he had some violations regarding the firearm itself. We did charge him with some of the stuff that he had. I don't have the list of all the firearms that he had, but we seized quite a few firearms that were illegal to be in his possession. And we're working with ATF to determine whether there are additional federal charges that might be brought against him.
But this is also the indications like plans to hurt people, improvised explosives, a variety of other, beyond just possession of guns he shouldn't have had.
Yeah, and there's supposed to have been I haven't seen it, but a letter with a list, a hit list or a mm-hmm. hate list or whatever you want to call it. And someone was asking me the other day whether we would notify people. Well, yes, if we think that people are on a list, as part of the investigation itself, we would determine why would you be on this list?
What kind of contact
would you have so we can let them know that, or maybe get more information, more evidence on the existing investigation. And we would and have certainly done that if it were, a legitimate list, if it was something that we felt like someone was might be in peril.
You also had a case of... I kind of laughed the name. Lucky Lily? Is that right?
Who a real
was,
name.
Was
they
not,
called me.
Was not as lucky in the end. Led your deputies through a chase that apparently didn't just go through the parking lot at the Walmart, but went into the Walmart on Mobile Highway. Is that right?
Yes, yeah, so this guy was breaking into cars.
Why is it always Walmart? Why is Walmart such a nexus of bad behavior? Is it just because it's a lot of people go to Walmart? Is that all it is?
I don't know.
It's weird, right? I mean, y'all are stationed on your hood drive. One is right across from the Walmart. So
exactly.
Anyway,
exactly.
Go on. Okay, so what happened here?
This guy's a car burglar and a shoplifter. So he had broken into a car, used that card that he stole, and then he did it again a couple of days later to a different car. And then ultimately we had determined him to be the suspect. Our deputies have been working it and found out that, hey, this is the guy, and we had warrants in this guy. And then so it happened, he goes back into Walmart, changes into their Walmart clothes.
He's an employee?
No. The clothes that were being sold at Walmart.
Oh.
There was their clothes to buy it.
Got it.
So, and then he gets a drink, and he tries to walk out. A deputy approaches him, who's working off duty at the location. He darts, for lack of a better word, back inside the store. We're chasing him. Ends up bumping into a customer, I think knocked the customer down. And then we ultimately arrested Lucky and charged him with all this stuff.
Lucky. Okay. All right. Fair enough. You had a pretty frustrating development. The case of Daniel Hucks, who had shot one of your deputies.
Right. He shot at two of them, struck one of them four times, yes.
And was then Baker acted I guess. And well,
we
also,
charged him.
Yeah, charged right. And Baker acted. But then now is getting transferred to what we think is maybe a lower security facility. And it's not some of the details here aren't 100% clear, but you were not in support of this.
No, I'm not support of this. He was sane enough to have called 911 and trying to get ambulance crew or deputies. And I think he ultimately got both. But the deputies responded to the actual house because it was a little suspicious. And he laid in wait. And when we opened up the door, he just started firing at two deputies and struck one four times, once in the head. The deputy was lucky to be alive. We ended up charging him with attempted murder.
Just to be clear, this is he called them in order to shoot at them.
Yes.
Yeah.
He called them, pretending to need them, yeah. And then he started firing at them. We returned fire, and I think we struck him as well. In fact, I know we did. But again, non-life-threatening. He was sent to a mental hospital about a year and a half ago. There was a conversation whether they should let him into a less restrictive facility. I wrote a letter asking, hey, please don't do this. This guy is a danger to our community. I thought it was my job, not only to our deputies, he's a danger to others. He's a danger to EMS, fire, whoever responds, or to any citizen that might encounter him.
Right.
And I'm not sure as I'm saying it was because of the letter I wrote, but ultimately he was sent back to the state hospital.
Good.
And now, as I understand it, they're going to, I guess, downgrade him or put him in a lower level.
Yeah, they say he does not meet the criteria for incarceration at the mental hospital or whatever facility they had him in, right?
Yeah, my criticism is more at the system itself that doesn't allow for an individual of this caliber to remain maybe hospitalized, but in a secure hospital for what I think should be the rest of your life. In this particular case, I don't know what do you expect him to do? And just because he may not be of a mental capacity doesn't mean he gets off from the crime that he did. If you're extremely drunk or on drugs and you commit a crime, you don't get off because, I didn't know what I was doing at the time. I'm not downplaying a need for a mental assistance that this individual might need or other individuals might need. I'm purely saying, as the sheriff of Escambia County, that I think that this individual in a less secure facility, and again, I don't know what that really means, but it's less secure than the doors being locked and he can't wander out.
Yeah.
I just think that if he's returned in whatever reduced capacity of incarceration, I think that that could potentially be a problem.
And I mean, I've always been of the opinion that if somebody needs to get treatment, that's fine for the duration that makes sense. But if he no longer meets the criteria for being Baker acted and incarcerated in a secure mental health facility, well, we can just move him to the regular jail.
Try him. And
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
if
right.
He's better now,
if he did the crime,
him.
Then right. Try him, move him to the regular jail where, we keep people who shoot cops.
Exactly.
Who shoot cops. I mean, that's. I
just think ultimately, had he been successful in his attempt to kill one of our deputies, then was he going to be allowed to just wander around
in a
less secure facility? Again, I don't know, to be all honest, exactly what that means. That mean he's not allowed to leave the house, but there's no bars or. To me, there needs to be bars. To me, there needs to be zero opportunity for this individual to be out and do more harm to a community.
I know it's not your jurisdiction, and I know that since you're the sheriff and not the chief of police, you may feel free to not comment, but the story about NAS Pensacola and Wild Greggs, you've seen, I'll just carte blanche, anything you want to say about that or about Wild Greggs or about behavior, or feel free, whatever you want to say. I'm just, I hadn't been intending to ask you this, but you mentioned bars, and I was thinking of a different kind of bar, so...
No, I'll be honest. I don't know exactly what they're claiming takes place at Wild Greggs. Again, it's a bar.
Well, they're
downtown.
Saying underage drinking and drugs and cocaine and sex acts in the bathrooms, and that's that's what the PNJ says. Mama San said. So
the only thing I can say is that I know that the military evaluates these rather extensively. Mm-hmm. I've been on the Military Affairs Committee for a number of years. Or I was on that, and I know that this is not the first time that they've put a particular location, what I'll call off limits,
right,
to their sailors and the people under their command, and obviously they don't take that lightly either. I know that they have many many conversations. So, but I can't comment because I wasn't privy to the conversations that led to this particular off limits type of a characterization. So I can't help you with that.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Last thing is we're talking. This is another conversation we're having with Bob Johnson yesterday. He was saying that they're having lots of construction site thefts, air conditioners, things like that. People stealing, you know, historically they steal copper, they resell it, they scrap, whatever. But I was wondering if you have seen that as well. And I had somebody text in and said they thought they had seen it one of our neighborhood construction areas, one of your camera arrays, you know, your park trailer to, you know, discourage and to observe, right? Is that true?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that we've had an uptick in it. I think that there has been, anytime you have a lot of construction, and specifically, I guess, in Escambia and in Santa Rosa County, with a lot of the growth that we're seeing here, there's so many construction sites, there are people that are going to take advantage of that. But I can't say that we've had an increase in construction crimes. But you did mention, and I was going to mention also, that we have our mobile cameras that we place at some large construction site. Certainly if we think that someone tried to break into something or tried to pick up it, a lot of times they will, when they put refrigerators and washers and dryers in his house, they lay them there, and then someone else installs them. And you know, a lot of times there's some inside information, you know, that there's a Whirlpool or whatever kind of appliance that might be in a garage of an unsecured, you know, brand new a house in the middle of construction, and they go pick those up. But we'll put our cameras out there and try to deter that sort of thing.
Good.
But I can't tell you that we've had an increase in that.
And then we're totally out of time, but can people request the deterrent, the camera? I don't forget what you call it.
You can request anything. But okay. Yeah. No, but what we like to do is work with people.
I got you.
And say,
okay.
Hey,
we'll find a solution to your problem.
Yeah, and if there's a camera available, that's what we want them for.
Okay.
If you have we can't do it forever, but we certainly can. We did it for the Pensacola Beach with great success. We do it for the Interstate Fair with great success. We've loaned them out to City of Pensacola and the Pensacola Police Department during some of their parades. So people can certainly contact us, and we'll determine what's best. Sometimes it's our deterrence van or our nuisance van, and sometimes it's the portable or the mobile cameras.
And if somebody's got a 16-year-old daughter they think is sneaking out the back window at night, well, we can put a sheriff's vehicle in the backyard and discourage the behavior.
Well, I mean, you can buy your own cameras for that also.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, there's other solutions. All right, you'll help them figure out a solution. Sheriff Jim Simmons, as always, sir, thank you for the time. I appreciate it, and really appreciate all the work that y'all do. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Y'all take care.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, we're seeing on I-10 eastbound right around between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Still seeing those delays right now. About a 7 to 9 minute delay. Also, Highway 29 southbound approaching I-10, seeing some delays in that area also. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Is your home your dream home? Or does it at least have the potential to be your dream home? Maybe you need to make a change. Maybe you just need new appliances. If that's the case, you need to check out Topps Appliance in Milton. Locally owned and operated, Topps Appliance has just what you need to turn your home into your dream home. Top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, stoves, plus washer and dryer combos. Topps Appliance carries the name brands that you know and trust, including GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and so much more. And they have a full installation and service department, something the big box stores just don't offer. They also keep most items in stock so you can take it home today. Turn your ordinary home into your dream home with an appliance upgrade from Topps Appliance. Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA Customer Service Department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Join Keith and Pam, your insurance experts with Verus Health Partners, today at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to save money on your healthcare costs and find the right insurance products that best fit the needs for you and your family as you head towards retirement.
Or if you're looking for options now, they will be taking your calls and questions. Today, at 10 with Veris Health Partners on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable. When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What are you people? On dope?
No, Mr. Hand. We're just surfing. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning. Texas Governor Greg Abbott authorizing civil arrest warrants for lawmakers who left the state in a bid to stop a redistricting vote. More than 50 Democrats fled to Illinois, New York, and Massachusetts to prevent Republicans from advancing those maps.
Did they carpool or did they all individually destroy the world with their carbon emissions?
Well, that's a good question. A good investigative journalist.
You know, Texas and Illinois, I mean, that's like a, 13-14 hour drive, right? So, did they kill the planet or did they live up to their convictions?
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620 News Radio.